Welcome to the online ministry of La Jolla United Methodist Church, a congregation of faithful Christians along the beautiful Southern California coast. Together we seek to grow in individual spirituality and in community with one another. All are invited to join in this vibrant faith community. More information can be found on our website at lajollaunitedmethodist.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
This morning's scripture readings come from Matthew and Luke. The first is from Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13 in the Voice of the Message Bible. The world is full of so-called prayer warriors who are prayer ignorant. They're full of formulas and programs and advice, peddling techniques for getting what you want from God. Don't fall for that nonsense. This is your Father you are dealing with. And he knows better than you what you need. With a God like this loving you, you can pray very simply, like this. Our Father in heaven, reveal who you are. Set the world right. Do what's best, as above, so below. Keep us alive with 3 square meals. Keep us forgiven with you and forgiving others. Keep us safe from ourselves and the devil. You are in charge. You can do anything you want. You are ablaze in beauty. Yes, yes, yes. The second reading comes from the Gospel of Luke 23, verses 32 through 34. They also led 2 other criminals to be executed with Jesus. When they arrived at the place called the Skull, they crucified him along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." They drew lots as a way of dividing his clothes. The word of God for the people of God.
Today has been unexpected, maybe for you too. It was unexpected to get an early phone call suggesting, maybe it's not right to worship outdoors today. And so lots of adjusting and lots of unexpected today. And I confess to you that I'm still sort of wrapped up. Maybe it's the same for you, right? Something unexpected happens and it just sort of throws your brain out of whack for a bit. I had a particular way that I wanted to start today's message, but something unexpected continues to happen. See, I'm regularly in touch with our technical folks by text. When issues show up, well, my son texted me, and he texted me right when you were reading the scripture, Don, where it's this word of forgiveness, and of course, as I've been thinking about forgiveness and how is it that God can forgive us 490 times or more, it's that love of a parent. Well, my son, I have his permission to share this. My son texted me, said, "Well, it must be easy to forgive me that many times. I apologize at least twice that." And he has the teary laughy emojis that go along with that. I would confess that as much as he feels he needs forgiveness from his father, I feel that need for forgiveness from my creator. I feel like I apologize a lot and maybe I don't always deserve that forgiveness, and yet it's offered anyway. As we've been exploring this sermon series on the Lord's Prayer, one of the things that we've been doing a little bit differently just throughout this series is when we get into the communion liturgy where we would traditionally say the Lord's Prayer, we've been experiencing incredible music from our musicians, sung versions of the Lord's Prayer. But it occurs to me that then you don't have the opportunity to say the Lord's Prayer. I read somewhere that in early Christian tradition, the Lord's Prayer was so central to the Christian faith that it was said 3 times a day. Can you imagine saying this prayer 3 times a day? I've talked before about the book Holy Envy, and I think I've even used a similar kind of illustration. We may theologically disagree with our Muslim siblings, and it may be a way that we can look at our Muslim siblings with some holy envy is that drive to pray to our Creator 5 times a day. What would it look like if we prayed this prayer every day? What would it look like if we prayed this prayer 3 times a day? What would it look like if we prayed this prayer 5 times a day? How would it change us? How would it change how we interact with the world? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and thine is the power, and thine is the glory forever and ever. Amen. I told you on Easter Sunday that the stole I'm wearing was a gift from the Reverend Dr. Sharon Rhodes Wickett, who was my pastor from the time that we moved to Southern California, well, not to Southern California, but the time that we moved to Santa Clarita United Methodist Church. I was 7 years old. She and her husband, Al, were co-pastors. Al died a number of years ago from early onset Alzheimer's. But one of his sermons that is still talked about at that church is a sermon on the Lord's Prayer. You see, one of the things that Al did, he said, I spent a number of weeks listening when we said the Lord's Prayer in church. And he said, the thing I paid attention to was the volume. You see, as we say the Lord's Prayer together, have you ever noticed that there might be times that it's a little bit louder and times that it's a little bit softer? You know what Al recognized, at least in this church in Santa Clarita? Goodness gracious, probably 30 or 35 years ago. Okay. I'm not that old, am I, Leah? No, don't answer. Never mind. Okay. You know what he noticed in listening to people say that prayer in church? In a fairly large church with a couple of hundred people in the room. The phrase that we're going to talk about today, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. The first part of that phrase was one of the loudest parts of the prayer. And the second part of that phrase was the quietest part of the prayer. When we pray, when we say these things, even if we say them sort of by rote, our emotions and our self and our core have an influence on the way that we say them. Al's observation is one that we might assume means that we understand we have a need for forgiveness. And it might also indicate that we understand that we have trouble forgiving others, that it's not easy, that we wrestle, that it's hard. Now, I presume that there are probably most of us in the room who feel like, you know, I'm a pretty good person. You know, I haven't been convicted of any crimes. Hopefully we could also say I haven't, you know, committed any crimes, not just convicted. I try to be a good person. I try to do good things in the world. I think that most of us would probably say that. So is there really a need to pray for forgiveness 5 times, 3 times, even once a day? Do we really need that? Pastor Adam Hamilton of the United Methodist Church of the Resurrection in Leawood, Kansas, the largest United Methodist church in the United States, draws a similar illustration. But in response to that, he reminds us about sins of commission and sins of omission. And if you're a fan of the Old Testament, if you're a fan of the Hebrew Bible, if you're a fan of the 7 deadly sins, you might look through some of those, and, well, I don't do most of those, but maybe, well, maybe if we think about them, maybe pride. Maybe that sin of sloth that can also be translated as indifference. Maybe sometimes I do commit some of those sins. Or maybe you'll say, well, I don't commit those sins. Like I don't actively do those things. But we remember when Jesus is particularly talking about the sin of lust, says that if we even think in that direction, then we have already committed that sin. When we think about those deadly sins, and we think about them in that context, as Jesus describes that one, have we committed maybe more sins that we want to think about? What about sins of omission? See, Hamilton parallels those seven deadly sins with the ideas of the fruits of the Spirit. Are there times that we have the opportunity to live out the fruits of the Spirit, to do good things in the world, and maybe we sabotage, maybe we let things get in the way. Maybe we omit some of the ways that we can do incredible things in the world because we have different priorities. Because it's just a hard day. Because we're so bogged down in the things that are happening in our lives that I just don't have time for that right now. And if we think about these challenging things, perhaps we might confess that, yes, friends, we must pray for forgiveness. Now, some of our non-theist friends might say, well, you Christians, you just spend too much time on guilt. You spend too much time on sin. You know what that word means, sin? It's about missing the mark. The word that's translated in sin in our New Testament could also be used as an archery term. You know, aiming for that target, working towards that target, but maybe falling short. Maybe, well, if you're a golf person, right, a hook or a slice. Maybe going beyond the mark in a way that's not helpful. And I think we might confess that for all of us, we just miss the mark sometimes. I hope we can confess that we're not perfect. And for some of those things that, you know, I just don't quite, I spend maybe a little bit too much money on fast food this month, you know, maybe that's one level of missing the mark. But maybe when it's the way we treat other people, but I intend to treat these people, treat this person with this kind of respect. But boy, I had a rough day and maybe I didn't get enough sleep and I just didn't treat him the way I intended to. And I missed the mark. We know in this section of the Lord's Prayer, when we talk about forgiveness, when we talk about forgiving and asking for forgiveness, right? That shows up in the Lord's Prayer in different ways. I don't know about you. I've talked to a couple of folks who spent some time attending Presbyterian congregations. Me too. When I was a kid, before we moved to the Rhodes Wicket Church in Santa Clarita, we attended a Presbyterian church. And when they say the Lord's Prayer, they talk about debts. In my mind, it was a transition when we moved to the United Methodist Church that talked about trespasses. And some churches will say sins. And the difference comes from different gospels. It's said one way in Matthew and a different way in Luke. But then in Matthew, there's sort of a follow-up text that adds a different word. But what can those things mean? We talked about sin. We talked about missing the mark. But some of our Christian friends talk about debts. Right? Jesus tells a lot of parables about debts, doesn't he? Pastor Leah talked about forgiveness and the idea of needing to forgive a ridiculous amount. And maybe you might think about Jesus' parable about the debtor who goes to a king who has this ridiculous amount of debt. I think it was something like 10,000 talents. And if you do the math on what 10,000 talents would be in today's dollars, it's something like tens of billions of dollars. Can you imagine being in debt tens of billions of dollars? It's unimaginable. Frankly, I would confess, friends, that we can't even imagine the number 10 billion. We can put as many zeros after that one as we want. But to actually imagine the quantity of tens of billions, I don't think we can comprehend it. I certainly can't. It's an unimaginable debt. And in the parable, The debt is forgiven. We use language of debt, don't we? When we seek forgiveness from someone, we might even say something like, I owe you a debt. We certainly say, I owe you an apology. We use that language of debt when it comes to reconciling with someone. Now, the idea of trespasses, we might see in a similar way. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And can you imagine that sort of an invasion into someone, almost a violation, when we do someone physical or spiritual or emotional harm? We might imagine that as a violation, a trespass into their personhood. Can we see how this language of trespass, of debt, of sin is all deeply connected? And when we think authentically and raw about who we are and how we live in the world, can we see that maybe we need forgiveness from these things too? Wouldn't it be great if the sentence ended there? But no. As we forgive those who trespass against us, as we forgive those who sin against us. Imagine saying that phrase this way. Imagine praying to God, God, the same way that I forgive people, please forgive me. Do you really want to pray that? There are some particular situations, and I'll tell you a story about one. But friends, there's more than one, and there's some I'm not willing to talk about yet. But there are some particular situations where I'm having trouble with forgiveness. Let me tell you one that's a few years old, and I think that you'll understand why I'm wrestling. And I hope you'll support me as I work to do this anyway. It's somebody I'll never see again. I don't know if you know this about me, but I've been rear-ended 3 times by 3 different uninsured drivers. That's not a happy statistic, is it? But the most recent one was while I lived in Grand Island, Nebraska. See, I was on the way to a wedding rehearsal. Super excited. I made the mistake of stopping for a traffic light. See, this affects me still today. I was driving 2 days ago, and I stopped at a traffic light, and every time I stop, my eyes are glued to the rearview mirror. And you know what I saw? I saw this little Honda. And it wasn't slowing down. You know how you can see the hood dip a little bit? It wasn't slowing down, and this Honda was coming right up at me. And I felt my body tense because I knew she was about to hit me. I could see the color of her eyes. And she slammed on those brakes, and she didn't hit me. My back is still sore today. So I'm in Grand Island, Nebraska, and I'm on the way, and I make the mistake of stopping at a traffic light. At the time, I drove this little Scion XB. I called it a toaster. It's white. You can't miss it. Looks like a stormtrooper. For a Star Wars fan, that's pretty cool. And this silver Chevy, I can still see it in my eyes. Speed limit in that part of town, it's a main road, speed limit's 40. And I saw him coming. I was the only one in my car, thank God, because I never saw the hood of that car dip before he slammed into me. I was in shock. I looked at pictures of my car later on. If anyone had been in my back seat, they would have been badly hurt. But I was the only one, thank God for that. And I opened my door and I stumble out, and a motorcycle rider had stopped and he said, "Are you okay?" And I don't know what I said, but he said, "Dude, you're in shock and you need to just sit down." And so I did. I didn't know what else to do. And I looked over at the car that was so badly damaged, the silver Chevy that had hit me, and the front end was pushed in pretty good. And the airbags had gone off, and I saw the driver sort of looking dazed, and then I saw the second row seat. I saw the door open up, and I saw a young child get out, about 8 or 9 years old, bleeding from the face. because he'd hit the seat in front of him. You see, he wasn't wearing his seatbelt. And then I saw a young lady who I think was probably his little sister get out of the car too, from the other side, and she was bleeding from the face. See, because I think that she hit the seat on the other side. But here's what made me really mad. Here's the part that I don't think I can forgive. You see, they put me in an ambulance because they wanted to check me out. They wanted to take me to the hospital. And do you know who I rode in the ambulance with? The infant. The infant who had been in the car seat but wasn't strapped in. The infant who hit the windshield. The infant who cried her little heart out the entire ride in the ambulance. And thank God she did, because it meant she was still alive. I don't know if I can forgive those parents. And yet, my friends, I must. Because in that act of forgiveness, forgiveness means to let go. In that act of forgiveness, maybe I can let go of this anger. Maybe I can let go of this feeling that maybe even borders on hatred. Maybe I can breathe again when I see somebody in my rearview mirror. Because, friends, forgiveness is not just an act of grace for the one being forgiven. Forgiveness is for us too. Now, you may have had particularly terrible circumstances in your life. Forgiveness does not mean that I say that that driver and those parents who didn't strap in their kids did an okay thing. Forgiveness can happen while we maintain good and healthy and appropriate boundaries. If someone has harmed you in your life and you draw a good and appropriate boundary that you will no longer allow that person to do you harm, that does not mean you cannot forgive them. But forgiveness does not mean that you need to violate that boundary. I want to close by sharing with you some extraordinary stories of forgiveness. I found an article from 2017 in the Reader's Digest. And you can, if you want to find this article, I'd be happy to send you the link to it. I'm just going to sort of reference them here. But there are stories about an Iranian woman whose teenage son was murdered. And she made a last-minute decision to forgive the man who was responsible, which, according to Iranian law, specifically and directly saved him from the gallows, saved him from execution. If you read this article, you might read about two Rwandan cultures, the Hutus and the Tutsis, from opposing sides of the 1994 Rwandan genocide that took millions of lives. These two cultures from opposing sides that have now come together and are fully intertwined. You might read a story about a man whose wife and 19-month-old daughter were killed by a firefighter who fell asleep at the wheel and crashed into him. Not only did the man who lost his family, his wife, his child, ask for a diminished sentence, he and the firefighter began meeting for conversation and coffee and remained close. A domestic abuse survivor reconnected with her mother, her abuser, after her mother had a series of strokes that left her unable to care for herself. Starting with just reading aloud to her mother, this survivor says that her hatred is dissipated into forgiveness and love. A teenage boy who brought a firearm to school accidentally shot and killed a classmate while showing off the weapon. The girl's mother asked for a reduced sentence for the teen, saying it's what her daughter would have wanted. During a night swim with friends, a bride-to-be got jokingly pushed into the shallow end of the pool, where her head hit the bottom and she broke her neck and was paralyzed from the neck down. She continued with her wedding ceremony and says she never harbored resentment from her friend about the accident. A woman in the wall where their son was injured when two boys of the same age as her son pushed a cart over a railing above her, causing brain injury, partial blindness, and the amputation of one of her feet. She told local reporters that she forgave them and felt compassion for them, likening them to her own son. And of course, the voice of forgiveness from one on a cross, who says, "Forgive them, they do not know what they're doing." Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Friends, let us be forgiven and let us forgive. Amen.
I think forgiveness is a topic that makes us all feel at least a tiny bit uncomfortable, if not wildly uncomfortable, because it's so vulnerable and can often be so indicative of what we feel to be our own shortcomings, whether we are the ones asking for forgiveness or whether we are the ones who have not or struggle to forgive others. I know I have moments like that in my own life. So as our response to today's proclamation, if you are struggling to ask for forgiveness for something, or if you are struggling to forgive someone for something, I would invite you to write it down. To write through the story of what happened, whether it was we who did something, or whether someone has done something to us. Journal that. Just get it down on paper. And see if that helps to process some of the emotions behind the struggle. It's an act of bravery to be vulnerable in that way. And so I would encourage you to just give it a try as our response to the call to forgive.